The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
End is near, and so I face the final curtain. And my friends, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, which I'm certain, and I've lived a life that's full. Oh, and I've traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it my way.
Good yawning this morning, Radio 96.9 FM. It is Wednesday, the 7th of May, 2025, and you are on the clock with Aaron Green. That song just now, that's Ronnie Butler. That may be one of the best versions of the song ever. Ronnie had that knack. He'd take your song and produce the best version of it ever. And that's a part of like the Bahamian cultural legacy. Anything you do, we could do it better. Anything you want to do, we could create the environment within and excel. Right? That's who we are. We still are, even though some of us have not tapped into that part yet. Some of us have intentionally shut it down or attempted to shut it down. But that's who we are. We're kind of chameleons. We take whatever it is you're doing and we make it better. We got lots to talk about this morning. The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. 242-300-5720 is a Family Island toll-free number. Y'all use it. We can't find out what's going on in the Family Islands. We got this story here today. Pinder believes arsonist behind recent spate of forest fires in Abaco. Again, 242-300-5720. Now, mind y'all, Abaco people don't need New Providence. You know, I mean, in terms of access to news and what's going on in Abaco, right? Abaco has a vibrant sort of media landscape. They got the Abaco News Network, of course. They got Kai Mills. They got networks of people sharing information and maintaining sort of communication platforms for Abaconians to engage in what's happening in Abaco and the rest of the country. Same time, we in New Providence, we begging you, call us. Tell us what's going on down there. Send a shout out to the volunteer fire team coming out of Abaco. They continue to be a model, a role model for Bahamians generally, and for public and state actors, people who need to know how to do what they ought to do when they ought to do it. My Guardian, Rubio warns on China. U.S. Secretary of State again urges governments against facilitating Cuban forced labor. I wonder if in these discussions, right, that the proper context, right, that the conversations have been framed properly. U.S. Secretary of State again urges governments against facilitating Cuban forced labor. What about a government that creates the conditions in which virtually everyone in the country could be categorized as forced labor? Are these conversations taking place without acknowledging the existing circumstances and dynamics that are taking place? How could we talk about Cuban forced labor without talking about the U.S.-led financial embargo on Cuba? That's my not even hesitation, but that's what agitates me in the conversation. What has been put in the public domain, certainly there needs to be an investigation into how these employees are being paid, what percentage of their salary remains theirs, who is responsible for housing, accommodations, room and board, food, clothing, we call recreational activities. See, because when government, state actors travel, delegation, you may be you may qualify essentially for a, I think it's like a subvention or stipend. I did a trip 25 years ago going to the UN for CEDAW, or for the CSW, a Commission on the Status of Women. And as a part of that delegation, we were given a stipend, right? And so are the same terms of engagement being applied here in this dynamic? This is a very important conversation, right? Because governments have a decision to make. What is more important, their ability to fly to the U.S. or access to adequate health care in one's own country? See, what the policy does is it puts the government actors on the same grounds as the ordinary citizen. You can no longer fly to the U.S. for medical care. And you are then subject to what is available in your own country or in the region or in other territories. Very important conversation. Still more lots to talk about. Sex attack in Abaco shelter. Teenage girl allegedly assaulted in RV trailer next to government building. So those two headlines, sort of incongruous. Did it occur in the shelter, RV trailer next to a government building? Is the RV trailer a part of the shelter setup? A teenage girl in Abaco was allegedly sexually assaulted in one of the government-issued RV trailers located next to the Marsh Harbor government complex. Amid growing concerns about illegal activities taking place in the temporary housing units. So there are still temporary housing units being occupied in Abaco. Question is, are the occupants, the people displaced or resettled after Dorian, or are there new clients in these units? Continue, police did not publicly disclose the alleged assault reportedly committed on Saturday in their daily press reports. I don't think they disclose traffic accidents either. Like, I feel like if you cause your car to cartwheel, or if somebody else caused your car to cartwheel, that warrants inclusion in the crime reports. However, Chief Superintendent Michael Thurston, officer in charge of the Abaco Division, confirmed, and we're going to go to page 5, that a complaint had been filed and said a suspect was in custody. The incident has intensified concerns among residents living in the RVs, many of whom say the area has become a hotspot for criminal activity. Some residents claim the trailers, which were originally intended for government employees after Hurricane Dorian, are being occupied by people not authorized to occupy them. There are also reports that some units are now being rented out for profit, echoing similar claims made about the government dome housing sites established after Hurricane Dorian. Quote, it's getting out of hand now and I don't feel safe, close quote, said one longtime resident requesting anonymity. Quote, the police are there and have an office in the complex, but it's just like they aren't there, close quotes. He said that on the night of the alleged assault, he heard commotion coming from the area but chose not to investigate. The resident described the area as a hub for criminal activity, claiming that disturbances continue late into the night and into the early morning, disrupting sleep activity. Quote, it sounds like traffic, like when you moving on a highway, he said. The Dorian survivor said he was approached by a woman who claimed she had seen a man wanted for murder featured on a police poster frequently walking through the area. Quote, she said she saw this guy constantly walking through there checking somebody because I tell you, they don't even know who they have in the back there, close quotes, he said. Nowadays, the resident said he doesn't even recognize the people occupying the trailers, adding that many of the original residents had long since moved on. Disaster Risk Management Authority Executive Chairman Alex Storr and Area MP John Pinder acknowledged receiving complaints about illegal activities taking place in the RV trailers. Mr. Storr said, an assessment is currently underway to determine who is occupying the units and whether they are authorized to be there. So should we assume that DRMA is responsible for these trailers for government workers post-Dorian? Dorian was almost, it was 5.5 years ago. I'm going to stick a pin. I got a red light on the board. We're going to go to the phone line and then we're going to get back to that article. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there? Oh, you must have put your phone on mute, Mr. Newry. Let me see the text line. Good morning, Mr. Newry. How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing? Good?
I am good, good. We got a couple of texts here about the first story. Good morning. Any worker leaving Cuba is sanctioned by the communist regime. So is slave labor regardless of the U.S. embargo? I mean, the Cuban people need to choose their own government, but they are not. Okay, I'm not sure. Have you ever been to Cuba or participated in any political advocacy or, yeah. And because it's a communist regime, it's slave labor regardless of the U.S. embargo. There's a whole lot of things you're saying, and I'm not sure that it is accurate. That's what I can say. I'm not sure it's accurate. There's another text. I believe former Senator Marco Rubio is going to let the Prime Minister know who is the government official. Oh, in the U.S. indictment. You think that's what it is? Good morning, Ms. Green. Do you know if the RBPF police force plane was confiscated in the indictment? I don't think that's how it works. You want to know whether the indictment indicates that as a part of that investigation, a RBPF plane was detained or confiscated? That's what you want to know? Got to be a little clearer with Let's go to the phone line, producer. Rest of that one, Mr. Newry. Good morning, caller.
A pleasant good morning, Mrs. Green. Can I speak with you for a second or two, ma'am?
We're talking about the sex attack in Abaco shelter and the Cuban medical Brigade and Marco Rubio's engagement with Caribbean leaders about it? Okay, let's get back to the article. Mr. Storr said an assessment is currently underway to determine who is occupying the units and whether they are authorized to be there. Quote, we've heard all kind of rumors, so what we were actually doing is an audit to ascertain who exactly is in those trailers, he said. Last year, residents were given an October deadline to vacate the trailers, prompting pushback from some who said they had nowhere else to go. Yesterday, Mr. Storr explained that the delay in enforcement was due to coordination with other agencies to determine how best to assist affected residents. It's not because of any pushback, he said. It's because we wanted to do it properly and make sure give residents a chance to put their best foot forward, quotes. Officials were unable to provide an exact estimate of how many families are living in the trailers. But area MP John Pinder said there are over 50 trailers on site, most of which are occupied by families. Mr. Pinder said there is no firm timeline on when residents will be required to vacate the trailers, but stressed that officials hope to resolve the issue soon, especially with hurricane season approaching. Quote, I know that the activity is not all legal, and they need to be mobilized and moved out as quickly as possible, the Abaco MP said. Mr. Storr agreed that the situation must be addressed with urgency, noting that the trailers have outlived their intended use and now pose safety hazards. End of article. The first thing that comes to mind, because obviously y'all haven't called the PM of Abaco. Y'all ain't referenced the PM. The PM have solutions. I'm not sure if the PM has solutions. I'm very concerned about everything I read in this article. Most of all, it is May. It is May 7th, and the hurricane shelter ain't open yet.
Do you have any update of the shelter? Is it halfway finished? Three quarters finished? Is it finished?
We had an update maybe 3 months ago.
And what was it?
They said that they were well on their timeline.
Yeah, but what does that mean?
It means nothing, Yuri. I knew it meant nothing when I read it. I knew it meant nothing when I read it.
So it's safe to say it's not almost finished.
Right. It's not almost finished. And we got another article in here I can get to next. Suggests the current Davis administration term.
No.
It ain't. It will not.
Once upon a time, we Bahamians, we said that mobile homes, what do you call the next name for it? Mobile homes.
Trailer homes
were illegal in the Bahamas, right?
But because
point. The Hurricane Dorian comes, so the government made some exceptions, right?
Because they were temporary housing options.
Yes. So government made some exceptions. And the Bahamian people say, okay, we understand that. The member of parliament, John Pinder, mentioned there's 50 homes in this particular trailer park. I could call it that, trailer park, because the government made exceptions to house these people. It's now been how many years now?
Since Dorian? 5.5.
That's permanent. That's a permanent structure. Has there been any mass construction of rental units in Abaco? There's housing units, right, where those who have money to go and can purchase a home. But these are poor people.
Well, let's assume the intention for these RVs was for government workers. That's what the article says, right? However, later in the article, we have Mr. Pinder. He knows that there are families, right? That there are families in these trailers. And so are the families in the trailers because the government workers were able to find apartments, temporary housing options, rental options? Are government workers Airbnb-ing? In homes, in private homes, right, and facilities? Or is it that you built some apartments, but you didn't build sufficient apartments for the number of government workers assigned to the island, the number of homeless or unsheltered people, unhoused people on the island currently, and then the number of Abaconians who want to return?
I assume that the contractual government workers who came on the island when the island was devastated, job has been completed, and they returned to Nassau. just leave the housing vacant, and whosoever had the authority gave the option to have other people move into these, these rental units.
Interesting. Whoever had the authority authorized occupancy, right? Why is Disaster Risk Management Authority then speaking? Surely, if the government workers who were assigned to the island for recovery purposes are no longer there, surely the site and the authority would have been transitioned, like given to social services in conjunction with the MP for the area. It is DRMA.
Because the site still belongs to them. And since there was no transition, no one accepts responsibility. It goes right back to the initial person who's in charge of the area.
When we talk about not accepting responsibility, this quote, this little paragraph here troubled me as well. Quote, I know that the activity is there, is not all legal, and they need to be mobilized and moved out as quickly as possible, the Abaco MP said.
I would have asked him to resign.
Yeah.
Soon he made a statement that's warranted that he should resign from his post because he's aware of criminal activities and not doing anything about it.
But not just that. He's not talking about strategies to eradicate.
He has none.
Hold on, but pause. He's not talking about strategies to eradicate, because you could still make it up. Mm-hmm. You don't have any, but you could still pretend like you have some. Mm-hmm. But the strategies are not to eradicate. They need to be mobilized and moved out as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. So they're in a space where you actually have greater authority, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you, because it's DRMA,
yes,
you could act, I guess, with more quickly.
Yes.
But you saying, yeah, we know what they're doing.
However,
we can make sure they ain't doing it here.
Yeah. But we don't know how to make sure not to do it or to enforce that.
We don't know how to eradicate it.
Yes.
Or we're not suggesting that we're going to try and stop it. It just shouldn't be happening here.
The report mentioned that one person said they don't even know who's in this, for lack of a better word, township.
Now, mind you, that's like a resident saying, I don't know who my neighbors are now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that was necessarily a state actor, that particular quote.
No, I don't.
However, following that up is the authorities saying, we got to conduct an audit so we could determine.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I don't know if you remember, but immediately post Dorian, one of the suggestions I had was, what do you mean that you don't have like emergency provisions that allow you on a temporary basis to conduct immigration exercises,
yeah,
inter-island immigration exercises, for the purpose of determining who is on the island in the subsequently, you know, in the midst of a crisis, right? Also, given the large number of people who died in the storm Dorian that y'all just reported as missing, surely knowing exactly who is on the island would have been imperative.
The truth is, both members of Parliament of Abaco failed the island post Hurricane Dorian. Dorian should have been the most policed, most organized, most innovative space. Abaco should have been the most innovative space in the Bahamas. There has been rebuilding of Abaco, but the same problem that existed pre-Dorian
still exists now.
Still exists, even to a worse manner.
Absolutely.
Even to a worse manner. And now that problem has now infiltrated the rest of the Bahamas. Whatever problems that Abaco had, because of overcrowding, because of non-policing, it has now permeated through the entire Bahamas. We now have trailer homes, townships throughout the Bahamas because of what happened in Dorian, because they allowed that lax and said, well, we're going to ignore these trailer homes. Mm-hmm. You can find trailer homes all through the Bahamas, right in Nassau on the main street. Nobody's policing, and they're important these, and the officials see they're important it, and they give sanction to it. You go on West Bay Street and see trailer homes on the main Bay Street. Right now, to this point, you go into Fox Hill, you go into Lifeaki, the trailer homes are there, permeating through the whole Bahamas. Who is responsible for policing it?
Mm-hmm. And see, here's the thing. Any government actor is responsible for policing it. Anyone. They don't have to be a ministry.
These people advertising on social media and the newspaper that we have trailer homes.
This is what I said. Any civil servant, that's you're obligated to report that to the relevant authorities within the civil service, right? Or without. So you could be working for the Ministry of Finance. You could be working for the Ministry of Snacks and Recreation. If you observe something, you're supposed to report it. I think the problem is that everybody says, that's somebody else. That's somebody else's job. That ain't my job. That ain't my responsibility. Let's go to the phone line, and then we are going, well, we're almost going to transition. One more point to make. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Good morning, C. Hey. You know, why are you talking about these trailer towns now? Whatever happened to the shanty town committee? The last time the gentleman was on, this was in the, I think in December, he said he's giving warning to these shanty town people to move, and then from then being and nothing yet. You know.
I think that a lot of that is bluster. I think that at this point now, people should realize that the migrant crisis is exacerbated by the housing crisis, right? And the projects that are on the table at the national level require laborers, and these laborers need places to live.
What exactly are you saying, that we should just throw up our hand and say, you know what?
No, that's not what I'm saying. But let's start here very quickly. What I'm saying is, repeatedly now, at least on two occasions, Fred Mitchell, chairman of the PLP party, in his capacity as chairman of the PLP party, has come out and told us plainly and clearly that...
No,
you're not listening. This is important. This is important.
No, I'm listening. I heard a statement that that you know that we need these foreign laborers and whatnot, but that don't negate the fact that they are doing things illegal. You know, you can't. You should be supporting illegality. You know, Eric.
I'm not supporting illegality. So the first point, the first step is we acknowledge what it is the state has said. The second step is we acknowledge their inaction, right? So we hear what Fred said, and we see that the committee seems to be not, right? So there's two things right there. And then we begin to organize. Bahamians don't want to organize.
Who? We the people?
Yes, we the people don't want to organize.
We march, people?
No.
Who?
Us, the people.
CA. Are you going to lead the charge? Aaron, are you...
Hold on, pause. Pause. So let me... I like that you said that. I have already led many charges. I want you to know, right, that in the gender equality 2016 referendum...
I
am... You go, don't watch none, because I can keep talking. You turned me on just now. In the gender equality referendum, I am the only person that put forward a successful argument. And I took it all the way... to the UN with the assistance of a couple of people. I didn't do it by myself, right? But I had to get assistance to fund me getting to the UN so that the CEDAW committee could ask the Bahamas government for LGBTI people in law in the Bahamas. And for June Major, the representative of the government or the AG's office, to get up and say, yes, there are. Wherever there are protections against sex-based discrimination, there are protections for LGBTI people. So when I talking to you about organizing, and then you throw back at me, well, CA, you go organize it, Aaron, you go organize it. I done organized it. I know I'm not being braggadocious, right? But me one put forth a campaign in the gender equality referendum to ensure that no LGBTI negative provisions were entrenched in the Constitution. I described the law. I correctly described the law and the progression of the referendum. And I went to the UN and CEDAW, used CEDAW to cause the Bahamian government to affirm the position that I laid down. And I'm saying this as an example that we can organize ourselves and shift culture, policy, and development in this country. And I did it with a whole bunch of people attacking me. A whole bunch of people set out to destroy me. People I went to school with. People I share blood with. People who I shared communion with. But I pushed forward. It took several years. The referendum was 2016. It took me to 2018 to get to CEDAW. It took me to 2019 to get to the Commonwealth Law Association conference. And then again in 2021 to present another aspect of the issue. We can organize ourselves to create change. But it has to start with us making a commitment to collective development and not for personal disposable experiences. Okay, let's go back to this article because this is the most important part of this article. Sex attack in Abaco shelter. Teenage girl in Abaco was allegedly sexually assaulted in one of the government-issued RV trailers located next to Marsh Harbor. There's a police unit in the space, whatever that community is, there's a police unit in there. This is the space that's supposed to be managed and supervised by the state. And the people still don't have their hurricane shelter yet. That's why I beg the people from Abaco, I come to you right now, caller. That's why I beg the people from Abaco to give us a call. 242-300-5720 is toll free. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Blessings to you.
Yeah. Aaron.
Yes, sir.
You're clairvoyant.
No. That's against, the law.
I beg your pardon?
That's again, you don't know Obed's still on the books? No, no, I don't do that. I don't do that.
Well, it's illegal, though.
Say?
It's illegal, though.
I mean, that's what I said. It's against the law. Why are you asking me if I...
Because you mentioned a while ago, Ma, if there's still protection for LGBTQ, right?
No, I described a process that I went through successfully. And the sign of my success is that the CEDAW committee asked the Bahamian government, are there protections for LGBTI people in Bahamian law? And the representative of the Bahamian government responded, yes, there are, wherever there are protections against sex-based discrimination.
But Aaron.
Yes.
Like I'm up to the time and Mr. Trump come in under Biden, they had some $50 million protection money for persons in the Bahamas who were of the LGBTQ community.
That's a lie. $50
million? $50 million, yeah, that ain't no lie.
$50 million for, to protect Bahamian gay people?
Protection money for LGBTQ.
People in the Bahamas is what you said. That's a lie. The U.S. government has never put aside $50 million.
Not the Bahamas government. The U.S. government.
The U.S. government has never put us... Cousin, I'm getting ready to hang up on you because this is ridiculous. This idea that the U.S. government earmarked $50 million just to protect gay people in the Bahamas.
But that's under Biden.
That's not true. It's a lie. It's not true. That's all. It's not true. $50 million to protect what is roughly 4%, 4 to 10,000 people? That don't make any sense.
Whole 4%? That's a lot of
between 4 and 10.
I was going to say 2.
Between 4 and 10.
10 is a lot.
Okay. So we got a transition, Yuri. A quick transition before we get to the story I really wanted to talk about, which is Pintard predicts early general election as he calls for fixed date. But before we get there, Mr. Nuri,
go ahead.
I see that you brought a book, a history book. And I brought a history book, too. If I had known you was bringing your history book, I would have brought my history book out the car.
I didn't bring this history book. It's coincidence that it's in the office with me.
In the break, I'm going to get my history book.
What's your history book about?
It's about Bumpy Watkins.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
The white, he wrote in the Punch, the white boy.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to say thank you to Gary Rule for providing us with copies. He heard us on the show.
It's a beautiful book.
Talk about several things, and he wanted to provide us some context, right? Mm-hmm. Because within that book is some...
Nuggets.
Some... certificate, like some actual documentation, and then there are personal recollections, a personal experience. I think it's going to be a fascinating discussion once we get to it. Okay, second point. I got sent a video today about coconut trash on Tony William Darling Highway, the Harold Road end.
Okay.
I want to go to the caller quickly because you've been flashing a little bit, and then I can get back to the coconuts. Good morning, caller. See why I was trying to get to the caller quickly? Caller. Okay, so it's a whole lot of trash. Mm-hmm. It looks ridiculous. There's no way. Like, if you have a temporary vendor's permit that, yes, that requires you to remove all of your accoutrements, all your equipment, all your accessories at the end of your business day, so that nobody could tell that the space was being occupied by a vendor. If that's the requirement to get a vendor's permit, then what's happening out there is ridiculous.
No, I'm policing.
Right? Here's the next thing. So this is your tourist route.
Mm-hmm.
It look ugly.
Mm-hmm.
It look nasty.
Mm-hmm.
It's created a state that will attract, harbor, and maintain a rat population.
Mm-hmm.
That's, it's a crime against the law, against the state, because you're not following the provisions of your authorization, your licensing. Second, it's a crime against the environment, mm-hmm, and for the residents in the neighborhood. You're just creating a rat pit, right? Here's where it gets worse. In the video, you see open coconuts where they just pour the water out.
Mm-hmm.
You see coconuts where they like split it in half, and you see coconut trash, like the fibers. You see the limbs you pull the coconut from. So the actual like the branches of the coconut tree. Mm-hmm. All over the place, littered over the place. You know how much money that is? Hold on, see.
And I hear you know.
This year, right before the Agribusiness Expo, there was a coconut festival. I thought that they were going to take that coconut festival and redo it at the Agribusiness Expo.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen. But the year before at the Agribusiness Expo, they had a coconut machine that produced at least, I think, 50, anywhere from, I think, either 38 or 52 products. From the coconut husk, not from the water, not from the meat, from the coir, the outer husk, the hard shell. There's 38 to 52 products.
Mm-hmm.
These by them not even taking the coconut meat out of the coconut to generate money. They're not even saving the shells for jewelers and artisans generate money.
The question I ask you now is, who is supposed to do this?
Who's supposed to do what?
What you asking now to get to this other business, this other opportunity?
Okay, here's what I say.
The coconut vendors today are not interested.
Well, then they can't have the job. If you're not interested in disposing of your trash properly, then you cannot have a license.
In other jurisdiction, the government is employed to assist vendors.
Mm-hmm.
They have a special trash collector that comes and clear up after them. The people who the vendors paid taxes say, well, I pay you to clean them after me. Right? I'm paying you to have the police come, paying you to have bathroom facilities for me. That is not happening to the Bahamas.
Right. And when a vendor doesn't pay, you don't decide that, well, we ain't cleaning up their spot. You, the subcontractor or contractor, you continue to clean the spot. And the authorities remove that vendor from the site.
There you go.
You keep the site. You don't, these by them don't want to pay. Why do you think we should clean up? Because you're getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting paid. Right? And even if the government does not pay you according to your contractually scheduled time, that doesn't mean you stop doing the work unless you withdraw your services entirely. And every time they accidentally send you a check, you send it back. And relevant authorities, not only is it an eyesore, not only is it an environmental hazard, but you know the big on who had the song Money on the Ground? Mm-hmm. All it is money on the ground. So we know the number, I come in right now, producer, we know there are a number of entities that are like derelict. How could the whole Ministry of Agriculture host a coconut festival and yet this situation still endures? Surely, before you had the coconut festival, you already had plans of what you're going to do with all the coconut debris you generate. Anyway, we're going to a break. When we get back from the break, quickly, Pintard predicts early general election as he calls for fixed date.
Hey, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool enough.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
Alright, so we definitely gotta tell somebody.
Buddy, call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know. and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do they work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me? Uh-uh.
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 308-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner today.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there'll be no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. For the world, you'd start with your community until you're accessible anywhere. You make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else, all to redefine what's possible for everyone, everywhere, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. Mr. Nuri is joining me. It's like a Wednesday, like a man down mashup Wednesday, but Mr. Nuri came a little late this morning, so I don't feel like I got a head start. I don't feel like it's fair to call it that right now. I got a lot of texts here. I can be honest with you all. Texters, I can try to get through the text, but I got one text in here that I want to say thank you to the producer. You hear what the producer played to bring us back in? The producer can't see the text line, you know, but he could feel my spirit. He knew that I needed some encouragement just now to ignore what I read in on the text line. So here we go. Pintard predicts early general election as he calls for fixed date. Free National Movement FNM leader Pintard is predicting, without substantial evidence. Now, this is Tribune saying this. Without substantial evidence that the Davis administration will call an early general election by September of what, 2025? Possibly by September, and is renewing calls for the implementation of a fixed election date as part of broader electoral reform. Quote, we would not be surprised if they do, and we are making preparation daily to field a full slate of candidates that the public would be able to put their confidence and trust in. Mr. Pintard said yesterday, quote, we want to roll out a platform that is bold and compelling to excite this population about what a future can look like under a Pintard-led administration, close quotes. Mr. Pintard criticized the current system, which allows the PM to determine election dates at their discretion, calling it ridiculous and arguing that it gives too much power to one individual. Quote, it should not be the case that it could be changed on a whim or because somebody doesn't have the courage to face headwinds that are coming or because they hope to catch one group off guard, close quotes, he said. Mr. Pintard said he firmly supports the implementation of a fixed election date, and if elected, his administration would seek to enshrine this into law. He said any fixed date legislation should include built-in provisions allowing flexibility in cases of catastrophic events or extraordinary circumstances. Countries that currently operate under fixed election date systems include Canada, the U.S., the U.K., and New Zealand, among others. These systems aim to promote transparency and fairness, ensuring that no party can gain an advantage by calling an election opportunistically. Calls for fixed election dates have also been echoed by ORG, which has urged the government to formally declare its intention or provide a timeline for the next general election. ORG Executive Director Matt Aubrey has said such reform would strengthen Bahamian democracy and create a level political playing field. Ahead of the 2017 general election, then FNM leader Dr. Hubert Minnis promised a fixed election date, along with other reforms, including a recall system for MPs, campaign finance laws, term limits for prime ministers, and the creation of independent electoral and boundaries commissions. None of these were implemented during the administration. Full stop. Ending the article there. I will continue. A Minnis administration that ended in a snap election. We pause. Producer, you don't have a laugh track, eh? That's where the laugh track should have come in. Okay. Yuri, you think we're going to have an early election?
I don't know. I try not to consider these things, you know, those options for the prime minister, because how our constitution is written, he can call
you. You wouldn't even consider it? I mean, like, if you said to me, I haven't considered writing a letter to the prime minister to tell him when I think the election should be. But I mean, you haven't even considered the matter, because like, it's only for the prime minister to think about?
Yeah, it's only for the prime minister to conclude. Now, if I see signs of the election,
yeah.
I definitely see signs of election. These people campaigning hard.
Mm-hmm.
The war room is employed. The people are out in numbers. So I can't picture a 12, but they're campaigning. So if they want to save money, unless they have real money out there where they don't have to worry about finances, I would assume that election would be an early general election just by the signs of what is happening. All
right, let's go to the phone line quickly, and then I need about.
I want to point. I know I can let it on the next side, but I want to point out right. Recently, several PLP MPs have declared that they will be running. They will be contesting.
Yeah, but have they declared? Like, have they published their own declarations?
No, of course not. But I'm assuming that's later on. But at least I've committed that they will return and run.
Talking about Vaughn Miller.
Even Vaughn Miller. Then there were about two PLP MPs who said they're not running anymore. But there are also several other MPs who haven't said anything. Just quiet.
Mm-hmm.
No, we had the Speaker of the House who said that she hasn't determined what she's going to do as yet. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what does that mean. You know, the people like Alfred Sayers, quiet.
Right? I don't think, Alfred Sayers, I don't think he needs to say anything.
Yeah? He needs to say if he's running again. He's a senior man.
Why? I mean, hold on. Pause. He's an incumbent.
Yeah.
He's had no major scandal. Now, if you told me you ain't heard anything from the PM of Abaco.
No, he said he's running.
Running where?
In Abaco. He declared a race.
He don't enter again. He said he cannot be running again.
He said that he's running. He has declared that he will run, contest the seat again. That's what Sharon said. There are several MPs who said that they will contest the seat again.
I beg you all to call me from Abaco, 242-300-572.
Abaco people happy.
Because that's not what I was going to say. I was going to say Abaco ain't making no sense.
I got to say that too, but they happy.
Okay.
Let's go to the call.
Caller, you got 30 seconds?
Yeah, Ms. Green, I'm going to call in. I was saying on the other side. I just wanted to know, did you see the thing on Facebook about the entrepreneur at Rose Island and his encounters with the officers that he's alleged to have happened? Why is nobody addressing this?
Because, pause.
Like he's hit the social media. I think the hierarchy, the force should have a duty of care to come and clarify these type things. These are some dangerous things that are going on within the entity. Much less to talk about the last scene about the senior officer who had assaulted, had a problem with his wife and someone who she's with. I don't know what it was. You heard it on the news, right?
No, I didn't hear it on the news.
Who gun-butted or some acquaintances of his wife or whatever. Whatever the situation
52,
was.
I'm still trying to figure out how a police officer could be on bail and have to go before a judge to determine whether his bail will be revoked for new offenses when he had so many of bail that he should have never gotten bail. Like, I'm still stuck there. But also, I got a life. I got other jobs. I just haven't seen it. If you send it to me, I will see it. That's it. If you send it to me, I will see it. And even then, with the state of Batelco, I may not see it. There's just issue after issue after issue after issue that requires our attention every day. Producer, coming right now. I wanted to end with that story. Pintard predicts early general election as he calls for fixed date, because I wanted to end the show with an invitation to participate in an Equality Bahamas event this evening. It's another Women's Wednesdays event. The theme for tonight's event is Developing Feminist Standards for Governance. The next general election will be held by October 26. Would you like to have a say in what happens from 2026 to 2031? This month, Women's Wednesdays is all about that five-year period and catalyzing what happens next. We invite you to join us in developing feminist standards for governance, setting a standard for political parties and candidates to meet should they want our votes in order to represent us. In the Feminist Standards for Governance sessions, we will identify national issues and go through a process to develop recommendations toward resolving them and building the country we know is possible. We, the people, are taking the lead. We are giving direction. We are challenging political parties and candidates to follow a people-source plan and to move from empty promises and inaction to listening and meeting clearly stated demands. Whether you're education, social services, economy, or another sector, you are welcome and your inputs will be valued. You do not need to have a job title, degree, or specific experience. You need only be supportive of human rights for all, open to others' ideas, and willing to share your insights. Join us for the first Feminist Standards for Governance session for this election cycle. Equality Bahamas will take place this evening at 6 p.m. at Ponciana Paper Press. That's 12 Parkgate Road. Developing Feminist Standards for Governance. 20 plus years ago, I participated as a member of CAFRA, Caribbean Association for Feminist Research and Action, in a series of public discussions called CRAFT, Constitutional Rights Roundtable and Facilitation Team. We hosted a number of, so this would have been around the 2002, 2003 referendum, right before then, we would have discussed, I mean, because we did. We discussed a number of policy matters. We organized public conversation. We invited policymakers to join us. And we came up with a lot of good ideas. So I invite you to participate in this evening's event, even if you want to go away with what you've learned to develop your own standards for governance. Anyway, this has been On the Clock with Erin Green. You stay tuned, because Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
Something is wrong with me, oh yeah. And if I know she worried, then I would feel that same misery.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.